liberty and justice for all.
All right, Madam Clerk, can we have the roll call, please?
Councilmember Perotti.
Here.
Councilmember Bennett.
Here.
Councilmember Seves.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tempore Vallejo.
Here.
Mayor Farr.
Here. All right, now are there, we have a public forum speaker, but we're going to hold that for later in the proceedings here. Are there any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
There are no amendments or adjustments.
All right. All right, now we have a workshop scheduled to take a couple hours, and Ms. Green, our city manager, is going to lead off on this, if you would, Ms. Green.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Once again, we find ourselves in yet another workshop, and I just want to remind council that this is a little less formal than a regular council meeting. So as we go through the various subject areas that we'll be presenting to you, feel free to stop and ask us questions as they occur to you. And also, there will be opportunities for public comment throughout as we go from section to section. Once again, we've asked a number of staff members to help us with this presentation. Of course, I have our finance director, Jeannie Wilson, at my side today, since this is a budget workshop. And we have our planning director, Jennifer Carmen, neighborhood services and public safety director, Vito Adamidis, public works director, Rosemary Gaglione, and our deputy city manager, Kathleen Trepa. And we've got a number of other staff members in our audience who are here to assist in answering questions, depending on what you ask us. So what we're going to do is walk you through a presentation of revenues and expenditure changes. You'll recall that in June of last year, council adopted a two-year budget. We made some modifications at mid-year, and now we're doing a midterm adjustment before the second year of the two-year budget begins. We're going to kind of do a back and forth presentation as we go through the slides. You'll hear from Jeannie Wilson, of course, from me, from some of our directors. And with that, if there are no further questions, we can get started. Okay. One of the areas that we spend a lot of time reviewing and analyzing, of course, are the revenues that come into the city. We will be presenting to you in this slide presentation our revised revenue projections for the 16-17 fiscal year, but we'll also be presenting to you staff's recommended adjustments to general fund expenditures as well. We'll cover our five-year forecast, which we update annually. You'll also recall that last year was the first year that city staff provided council with a five-year forecast of revenues and expenditures, and that we also applied that five-year forecasting model to our capital improvement program, or our CIP. We'll also touch on revenues and expenditures for our other funds. We have a summary of that and an update for you. We'll be ending the program with an overview of changes to our capital improvement program. Last year, during our budget workshops, we talked to council about the importance of revising our strategic plan. We had a whole session that was just focused on taking the strategic plan and modifying it to reflect current priorities and goals and objectives that the City Council had for the community and for the work we do here at the city. We adopted a two-year strategic plan, and we feel that the strategies and goals that were set by council a year ago are still valid. We're not recommending any changes to that at this time. As we enter the budget cycle early in 2017, we'll have staff and council revisit the strategic plan at that point to create an update, another two-year update. You'll recall that when we concluded the changes to our strategic plan, we also had an effort through all the departments to link the objectives that appear in the narrative section of the budget to the goals that are in the strategic plan. And then we also established performance measures that are shown in the budget narratives that reflect those goals and strategies. We also provided a number of accomplishments, which we've updated, and you'll see those in the draft budget document that we've provided to you. I just wanted to make another note that the documents, the schedules, the staff report, it's still subject to change after the input we receive from council at today's workshop. So the budget at this point is a work in progress. We'll bring it to you in June at our first meeting for final adoption. We'll talk about our revenues and our expenditures in more detail, and Ms. Wilson will present on those. But I wanted to let council know that our premise that we begin with when looking at our revenue assumptions is to be conservative. We've taken what we feel were very sound conservative projections that were adopted last year. We've updated those to reflect current conditions and the changes over the last year. One of the considerations that we applied in those updates was the effect of new development on our revenue stream. Also, for our expenditure requests, we've gone ahead and reflected the changes that council adopted at mid-year and a few new requirements as well within the various departments. And with that, I'll give a quick recap. Ms. Wilson will provide more detail, but just to remind everyone, our original revenue projections as adopted with last year's two-year budget for the 16-17 fiscal year was at almost $25 million. We're showing what we believe is a good conservative recommended increase to those revenue projections of $794,000. And we've got underneath that on the slide here, we've got underneath our overall increase the breakdown of those increases per revenue category. Ms. Wilson is going to talk about that in more detail, and you'll have an opportunity to ask questions. So with that, let's go to the next slide. Our expenditure requests, we started with an original adopted budget of $22.6 million. We have additional requests over the last year of $2.1 million. Again, some of those changes happened at mid-year. Some were previous in September of 2015 when council adopted the memorandum of understanding with our labor union. But also we've included, as I mentioned before, new requests for various departments in personnel, in pavement funds, and other operating expenditures, bringing the revised expenditure budget to just under $25 million. So Ms. Wilson's going to take us from here for a few moments.
Thank you, Michelle, and good afternoon, Mayor, members of the City Council. The slide before you depicts the a summary of your operating revenues and your operating expenditures to include your capital expenditures for a revised budget total of revenues over expenditures of just over $800,000. On a comparison basis, the budget originally was adopted with revenues over expenditures at $2 million. As we go through the slide presentation, I will be discussing the changes to the revenue estimates and in part looking at how revenues are increasing from the current year budget. And then on the expenditure side, I'll touch on primarily the new requests as per the originally adopted budget. So overall, as we adopted the budget, the revenues were estimated to increase about 2.28%. Based on our revised numbers, we're looking at a 5.56% increase, or $25.6 million as revised. The table, it's a rather small, but if you look at the final three columns, you'll see that the categories of revenues of $25.6 million, again, property tax, sales tax, transient occupancy tax, comprise the largest component of the city's revenues and are all growing at a pretty steady pace. We have increased property tax from the current year budget of by $167,000. This again is based on increased assessed valuation and in part to that new development that is still occurring in the city. Sales tax projections, we're increasing those over the current year budget over $400,000. Again, that is based on updated information from our sales tax consultant that in detail they do look at how the city's performing. They look at corrections for prior year allocations, and they also look at additional retail. Transient occupancy tax from the current year, we're looking at an increase of $655,000. That in part is due to the expected opening of a new hotel about mid-year of the coming year. And again, we are seeing room rate increases and occupancy level increases overall on all of the city's hotel properties. In the franchise fee category, we're just looking at a very slight increase of over $20,000. In charges for services, which primarily is our building permit activity and our plan check activity, we're looking at a decrease of just over $300,000. This is not necessarily a sign that billing activity is decreasing. It's just a conservative estimate, and as has been the case in the last 3 years, at mid-year, based on that activity, council has generally increased revenues and also increased the related expenditures for building permit and plan checking, as the city receives a percentage or pays a percentage of its revenues to its contract consultant who processes building permits and plan check. So we would anticipate at mid-year reevaluating our building activity and our plan check activity, and at that time, if necessary, also make a recommendation to increase those revenues if they are warranted. In the category of other revenues, we are looking at an increase of $359,000 over the current year budget. This category is comprised of CIP reimbursement for staff costs, so we're going to have a slight increase there. The RDA administrative costs, in the prior year budget adoption, that amount of $167,000 was omitted. It was just an error. So at mid-year, we did adjust the 15-16 budget, but here's our opportunity to adjust the 16-17 budget as well. In addition, I didn't note it on the slide, but we do have some transfers in from other funds in part to reimburse the general fund for a related expenditure of development impact fee nexus study. I'll discuss that further on the expenditure side, but that study can be funded by those development impact fees, so it is an opportunity for the general fund to recover costs and not feel the impact of that study that needs to be completed.
Before we jump into the general fund expenditures, are there any questions about the revenue information that we presented so far? No? Okay. We'll keep going.
So overall, on the expenditure side, when we adopted the budget, we were looking at a budget of $22.6 million, and which compared to the prior year was an 8% decrease. As we've revised the budget, we are now at $24.8 million, and that is just a 0.5% increase over the current year budget. I'll go over that in detail, and as Ms. Green had mentioned, we have made some adjustments at mid-year for this year, which do then roll into the next year, and some of those were personnel changes. And we did have an MOU that was adopted last September. Again, that is layered on into this these numbers as well. So as you can see in the far column, our proposed revised budget is at 24.8 million, which is 0.5% higher than our current year budget at 24.6.
May I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
You mentioned the mid-year change, that we made some personnel changes.
Correct.
At mid-year. Could you remind me what they were?
I believe they were maintenance workers in Public Works, two positions, a senior office specialist position in Public Works, and an HR manager position. I believe there were four positions altogether. There were some reclassifications also as well as part of mid-year.
Okay. Are we currently recruiting for the HR manager position?
Yes, we are. We're in the process of scheduling the panel interviews for that recruitment to be early in May.
Okay, so what I'll cover as part of the expenditures before we go into the changes by department, the personnel changes. So currently the city has a full-time equivalent of 64 positions. We are recommending two new positions for a revised full-time equivalent of 66. We do have some positions that we will discuss and modifications of vacant positions that we will also discuss. Recommended are a management analyst in the planning department. This position is recommended to assist with the implementation of a needed permit software that is included in the budget, as well as overall management of a contract and developer deposits in that department. In neighborhood services, we are recommending the addition of a parks and recreation manager to assist in implementing the park rec's needs assessment. Work with the Parks and Recreation Commission. Also undertake the Parks Master Plan, which is budgeted in 16-17. And in addition, assist with the process and development of the capital improvement program park projects overall. We are recommending modifying two vacant positions. This modification of positions results in a slight savings in the city manager's department, but we're looking at a management assistant reclassification from a senior office specialist and a management analyst reclassification from a senior management analyst. Again, these positions are currently vacant and the department reevaluated the needs and can better and efficiently undertake the needs of the department with these two changes.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. I know that we've had the opportunity, Mayor Pro Tem and myself, for in the Finance Committee. But I'm hoping that you can. One of my questions I had to you then was about the current planning management analyst. I believe that was the position, and you had. I said to you, is that something that's going to be needed in the future if things were to slow down in planning? And you did reply that yes, and I thought that was a good explanation, and maybe the public would want to hear.
Okay, I believe the city managers also addressed that question as far as the need in the department for implementation of new standard practices, permit software, and provide that additional support that they need in the department for administrative, since they have one currently. And the anticipation is as that development activity slows down, there may be needs in, since this is a generalist position, there may be additional needs citywide, as, for example, the Parks and Recreation Department may be then ramping up as planning activity is winding down. There may be additional support needed in capital improvements as those projects are projected out beyond the 5 years. So staff anticipates monitoring that as needed over time But as far as a short-term need and in the next, we anticipate 3 to 4 years, there is a significant need for this position.
Thank you. I knew the answer, but I thought it was worth mentioning and having a discussion about it so everybody knew that answer.
Thank you.
I do have a question on that also. Why weren't these positions brought up during the mid-year review?
The Parks and Recreation Manager was part of the preview discussion we provided at mid-year. We didn't ask for the allocation at that time because we felt that the need could be deferred a few months till the new fiscal year. But we wanted to give council time to think about that one. The management analyst position was contemplated after mid-year, in part as a result of some of the thinking on staff's part after receiving the management audit from the consulting group Baker Tilly. There was an identification in that report that the permit tracking software system that we're planning to implement needed to be implemented as soon as possible, and then to also integrate with the workflows in the Public Works Department as necessary. So after reviewing the results of that study and thinking about some of the other needs in the planning department, as it applies to, as Ms. Wilson mentioned, developer deposits, contract management, we felt that it would now be appropriate to bring it to council for consideration.
Because there's additional revenue coming in. Is that the main motivator?
Well, yeah, we've also been able to see an updated picture of the city's expected revenue, and that gives us more confidence that it is appropriate to ask for additional staffing when we see that our revenue picture is very positive. Of course, it's council's discretion whether you feel comfortable adding positions at this point or not, and that's why we present it to you as a staff recommendation, showing you that with those costs included, that you still have positive net effects of revenue over expenditure.
I guess my concern is, and I remember during mid-year we talked about the HR manager position as is a critical position to make sure that one, get that person on, do the evaluation and do the recruitment and the hiring. And we haven't hired that person yet, and yet we're talking about hiring additional people, and we're not yet done with the first year of our two-year budget. If we did move ahead with these positions, it's going to take us 6 months to recruit and hire anyway. Why aren't we waiting, as we had thought we, I had heard, wait until that HR manager is in position?
Our recommendation wasn't to have the HR manager determine what staffing needs would be. Their role is an important one, but those considerations that we discussed with council related to the volume of existing workload in our human resources function. So I think the justification at the time was more to do with the fact that given changes to the law, human resources law, changes to employee benefits, the volume of recruitments we had at hand, our growing number of employees, that this HR function was no longer something that an HR analyst with oversight from the deputy city manager could handle. We needed to have a full-time professional managing that program, because each year it becomes more challenging to keep up with changes in the law and then the workload that we have internally as well.
Okay, I guess I'm just concerned in that, you know, we have our adopted budget, and the budget were assumptions made then to carry us over 2 years. Yes, things have increased in some of our revenue sources, but not really to a great extent, given the fact of the pending obligations we have looking forward. And then secondly, I'm going to need more information before I can decide about adding positions at this point, because we haven't seen how this fits in our organizational chart. We haven't seen, I met with you and our finance director for an hour yesterday, and you know, I got this book on Friday, so I haven't had a chance to really vet out the hiring and why we're going to add these positions, where they're going to fit, and most importantly, how we're going to pay for it. Our revenue's up right now a little bit. What I heard yesterday is that we're going to pay a partial because it's not going to be a fully laden cost for a whole year. So what does 17-18 look like? What does 18-19 look like if we add an additional manager and planner and then the ones we've already added? And, you know, what does that look like? And I guess I'm really going to need that before I can decide to add people. And more importantly, on top of that, is where they fit organizationally, where they fit physically. Our building's very small. Mm-hmm. So all that stuff, you know, I would rather we'd had a discussion, and maybe we should, on just the personnel issue alone, so that we can have, I mean, we're doing five-year planning on our financials. We're doing five-year planning on our capital improvement projects. We should do a five-year planning on our personnel as to what we need now and what we need later. I mean, we've done really well in some areas with consultants and not had a fully laden position. Now we're asking to have fully laden positions, fully loaded positions, I should say. And what is the cost and effect of that?
One thing I will note is that the cost of these positions that we're requesting are provided already in the five-year forecast. So the financial impact of the cost of their salary and benefits is shown already netted out there. So, but certainly we can provide information to council about the hierarchy of our organizational chart and where they would fit and who they would be managed by, and also physically where they would be located.
Yeah, I would need that.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it for a minute. What if we were $1 million in the hole? We'd be having a whole different discussion on how we're going to get the business done of this organization.
Right. We wouldn't be advocating for new positions at that point in any case. But we'll provide the additional information you've requested.
Thanks.
Other questions?
I have no questions. Are you, at some point in time, we're going to have public comment in here,
right?
But I assume you're going down to the subcommittee review of the request.
When we get to that section, I'll indicate that we're ready for the public comment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to cover the expenditures overall by department and those new requests in each of those departments and any significant expenditures again by department. First, we'd like to cover the City Council's budget. I do want to point out that we do have support to other agencies included in the budget of $540,000. Within this request are new requests that were not included when the budget was adopted. And these requests were discussed by the grant subcommittee yesterday, and we would like to go over those requests in further detail for council consideration. If council chooses not to approve these new requests, the numbers you see before you, the $540,000, would be adjusted downward and amended for council adoption, as we mentioned, the first week in June. The first new request was for $13,300. It was a one-time request for the train depot. Valerie, you discuss that?
Ms. Kushneroff is going to provide some additional detail on these requests. We do have copies of the funding request letters on the dais for each council person.
So thank you, Mayor and council members. The Train Depot did submit a letter of request. As some of you know, their assistant director unfortunately passed away, and they're looking to provide for this position at a market rate, which was not what they had in their budget. So they were asking for a one-time request of $13,300, and the committee supports that request, the subcommittee.
Mayor Farr, may I add to that?
Yes, if you would, Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
When we discussed it, I know it doesn't sound like a one-time expenditure since we're talking about payroll, and payroll doesn't go away, but as it says in the outline there, they're kind of depending on this position to raise their own funds. So they're going to have to hunt their own dinner, basically. And they're asking for our help to get through the first year while they do that. And I think we're going to make it clear that it's a one-time expenditure. That was, I believe, I don't want to speak for the mayor, but that was the gist of our position on that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is where our recommendation came from.
All right. Did you want to comment more on this?
I'm here to answer any questions you might have on that specific one. Otherwise, I'd be happy to talk about the Economic Vitality Committee's request.
I just wanted to mention that this public comment is concerning this idea specifically.
Yes.
Should we call the gentleman?
We can take it
up
now, certainly. Thank you.
All right. Ron Bruns, would you come up and speak to us about the Railroad Museum?
Yes. Mayor, councilmen, and staff, my name is Ronald Bruns. And as a member of the South Coast Railroad Museum Board of Directors, I'm here to request the funding for our grant proposal. As was already discussed, Phyllis Olson was our assistant director. She passed away in December. Any of you that may know her or knew of her, she was one of the original members of the small cadre of local citizens that procured the depot from Southern Pacific, and then also was appropriately recognized for getting the building placed on county property at Los Caneros. And so I just wanted to let you know that she should have credit for that. She has been the director since the position was created in 1980, and her passing last December has created a real void for us because she was instrumental in the day-to-day operations as well as fundraising and event planning with the local schools, children, Candy Cane Train, and Easter Bunny Express. And Mrs. Olson, upon her passing, our first recruitment, we found a very promising candidate for the position. The only problem was that the salary and fringe benefits that we were paying was grossly inefficient in today's market. And that's the reason why we are requesting this funding at this time. And it is important to note that this is intended as one-time money. That's our intention as well. And it's to help us to successfully recruit and fulfill the training requirements for our new assistant. And then her skills or his skills would be a portion of what would be required for her to help continue raising the funding necessary for her position and responsibilities. And with that thought in mind, I want to thank you again for your support. I'd also like to note that we've been in communication with the Santa Barbara Foundation and the Historical Society in discussions with long-term planning and coordination for our organization going forward. So I want to thank you at this time.
All right. Mr. Bruns, while we've got you there.
Sure.
The admonition, the concern expressed by Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo that about this being a one-shot deal, that doesn't concern you at all?
No. Basically, what this is going to do is help us to have the money up front for so that we know what we can negotiate our her salary or his salary on. And we also have the intent of using, obviously, the past funding for Phyllis's previous salary and fringe benefits. And we do we are anticipating the ability to use her skills and the existing skills of the board to raise the additional money necessary. Because as you know, nonprofits are in the constant process of raising money. And depending upon the need and where the need arises is where you put your focus. And at this juncture, our focus has been completely disrupted by the fact that she has passed on. And this was not something that we had anticipated. And so therefore, we will be planning on focusing our fundraising to accomplish this goal of continuing to afford the salary going forward.
All right, if I might ask another question.
Sure.
You mentioned broad discussions with the Santa Barbara Foundation and the Historical Society.
Yes.
Is there any talk about your coming under the umbrella of the Historical Society?
I can't speak for anyone other than our own board. But this has been something that has been discussed at our own board level, because we're also thinking about the concept of reorganizing the organization as it stands. And that would obviously be a potential attribute. And I think that attribute would not only be for us, but for the Historical Society as well.
All right, thank you. Any other questions?
I do have a question.
Yeah, Council Member
Assetti. You mentioned the Santa Barbara Foundation. Did you go to them for assistance to fill this gap?
No, we did not. We went to them with the intent of informing them of what our needs were, and that's where we're standing right now, is with just at a discussion phase as to what our needs are, not so much what they can do for us yet.
Okay. Did you go to any of your supporters to fill the $13,000 gap?
Well, as I said, we consistently go to our supporters to continue with the ongoing costs and funding of the museum. And it's a situation now with this shortfall, we do need this additional funding to carry us over. And yes, in the future, that's another area in which the assistant director would be able to come and the board would be able to come up with additional funding.
I'm talking about specifically for this $13,000 gap. Did you go to your funders to help fill the hole?
Not at this time. Okay. Our normal request for funding is coming up in the very near future. Obviously, this will be an item of which we would expect to anticipate getting additional funding from our membership. But at this point in time, we need to start moving forward just to be able to continue to run our operation.
And I understand that. We're all involved with many nonprofits, and we know what we need to do to raise the money. My final question is, this council has allocated $100,000 to give to our community groups. Mm-hmm. That includes CDBG money and general fund money. Did you submit a grant for the $13,000 or any portion of that to the grant committee?
No.
Okay.
No, but you did request several different things, one of which we suggested.
Yes, this... At the time that we proposed the grants that we requested, this was not the need we had. Yes, we are currently, in fact, just this last Saturday, we met with Vanetta and Associates with regards to a grant that we have funded with you regarding the future landscaping plans for the grounds at the depot. And we did request a couple of other items. I think the landscape plan was the only one that was approved.
All right, Council Member Perotti.
Well, I don't have a question. I just want to thank you for all that you do at the Train Depot.
Thank you.
I have the honor and privilege to go with my grandchildren quite frequently there lately, and I can honestly say there's never a child that's not smiling and giggling and happy, and so thank you for I'm sorry that you're going through this right now, but thank you for all the hard work that you put into that station. The kids love it. Just love it.
Yes, Mayor, I do recognize you. You may not recognize me. I usually am there in my engineer clothes, and today I'm in my begging clothes.
Actually, it might have been effective to come in your engineering clothes.
Well, the thought did enter my mind.
All right, any other comments? Let me just, I want to say Councilmember Perotti was not in our committee discussion yesterday, but there were a lot of nice things said about your organization in that committee. I mean, year after year, you guys are out there having a good time with a lot of people, and it's an important part of the city of Goleta. So let me add my kudos to what you folks are doing.
One of my favorite pictures is a picture of my mom and dad riding on the train with our son, who's now 18, but... back then, and you know, my father's passed, so that's one of those pictures I cherish, seeing the three of them riding the train together, and that's because of you guys. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure, and I've been there long enough now to where I'm actually seeing the kids of some of the kids that were here before. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, sir, for coming in.
You know, if I can just one other comment on that. I'm not speaking about the organization itself. I mean, I was a volunteer train operator when my kid was little. So I've been around that for a long time. It's just the process that I had a question. That's why I asked the questions about did they apply to the grant program. And I'm just now reviewing. The agenda just came out for Tuesday's meeting to see how much you guys gave them. But we've got to have a process, because if we don't, we're going to have every nonprofit in this city asking us to supplant salaries for their people because they can't continue on, and that's a slippery slope.
Mr. Mayor, if I could chime in for a moment. We've begun a process of developing a formal program for these support to other agencies request that will be a separate process from the CDBG grant process and the Goleta City grant process. Ms. Kushneroff is the staff member who's assigned to that. The first phase of our process development was implementing funding agreements, grant funding agreements, for all of the recipients of the support to other agencies funds. So we put that into place early in the current fiscal year. Our next step is going to be approaching the groups who have been funded this year and asking them to provide us with reports of what they've accomplished with the funds they've received. And the final step, which Ms. Kushneroff is starting to work on, is the application form and process for the next two-year budget cycle. So we are working hard to make it standardized and easier for council to consider, along with the other grant programs that come to you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Kushneroff, did you want any further comment on this?
I don't have any further comment on this item, this specific request, unless you have any other questions.
No.
Would you like me to continue with the economic?
Yeah, should we go to the second request, please?
So the second request is from the Economic Vitality Committee, and what they're trying to do is establish a pot of money which would be used for an air revenue guarantee. This helps attract airlines or new routes to the area by helping guarantee that there will be a minimum amount of funding. And if I may, I would like to just read a few sentences which better articulate what that means. A revenue guarantee is an agreement between a community and an airline that establishes a target amount of revenue the airline will receive for operating service on a route, typically over a 1 or 2 year period. If the new service achieves the target revenues, it indicates to the airline that the route can be self-sustaining without any subsidies. In cases where the target revenues aren't achieved, these community funds, of which our $50,000 would be a part, are used to bridge the gap. but it is a short-term, again, 1 or 2 year guarantee available.
Now, what about, we're going to let everybody comment and then we'll run from there.
I was just going to say, as the grant review committee, perhaps the two of you could report to the rest of the council members your initial thoughts in considering this request.
All right. You or I?
I can start and you can...
Go ahead. All right. Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
We decided not to support this recommendation. Some more adamantly than others. I think, speaking personally, I felt like there's no other cities participating right now, including the city of Santa Barbara, which I guess for legal reasons can't, which doesn't seem right to me. But and there's really no other organizations funding this. And so my personal belief was we can't be the only ones funding this thing. And it feels like they maybe came to us a little late in the process, they being the EVT. And I'm not opposed to it. I understand that other routes are desperately needed in this area. We need a flight to Sacramento. We need a better direct flights to other areas, and I wouldn't mind helping to see that happen, but not if we're going to be the only ones funding it. And I think all in all, it's just not well. They weren't ready to come to us, I don't think, and I'm not really prepared to support the request. Mayor Farr was a little more adamant, and he can share with you his thoughts on it.
All right. Well, I didn't have much sympathy for this request at all. I mean, if you look, as a Goulitan, you sit back. I'll bet everybody who lives on the South Coast can remember the first time they heard that the airport and the land north of Hollister from Fairview to La Patera is owned by the city of Santa Barbara. Does that make any sense to anybody? No, and you have to go back 60 years to find the explanation for it. Well, so we get the impacts, we get the traffic, and we get the pollution, we get the noise. God bless the people out in Elwood, you know, because those jets blow right over there. I was at a party the other day. It's very hard to communicate when those jets are going over. So not only that, we have architectural restrictions on the things that we can do in parts of the city because of the airport being there. So it seems to me we're making our contribution plus to the airport and let them run it more efficiently, you know. Let them not build that Taj Mahal out there and run it leaner than they have been and find their own ways to subsidize the airlines to make it profitable for there to come in. So I'm, Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo said, I'm rather vehemently opposed to giving them money.
If I may provide two clarifying comments. The reason the city of Santa Barbara cannot participate is because they're seeking an FAA grant, and as the owner of the property, they're not allowed to participate in this revenue guarantee. And the second point is that the Conference and Visitors Bureau or Visit Santa Barbara has committed $75,000 to the process, but at this point, they are the only participant.
And I believe no other cities have been asked, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let that one go. Council Member Bennett.
I would be curious to know who else, in fact, would be asked if the city of Carpinteria were to be included in that, number one. Number two, if the business community, in fact, were going to be asked, because this would be the benefit that they would be looking for, and it would serve their interests, certainly. It's not to say there aren't citizens in our community that wouldn't be benefited by this. They certainly would. But I'm a bit surprised. I sit on the airport commission, and I know that the recent subsidy that was given to American Airlines to go to Dallas and fly out of there, and that was provided by the airport, and I thought it was great. You know, it's enhancing the operation of the airport, and it will increase the passenger load, which is certainly would be great. I might comment and say that since the recession, the passenger employment and deplanement has finally bottomed out, so we're finding some stability in the last couple of months, but that doesn't necessarily dictate a trend, just because the last couple of months, instead of continuing to drop down, it's somewhat stabilized. So there's a lot of hard work over there that needs to be done, but I'm surprised. No one said anything to me about this when I saw the request, and I kind of chuckled at the time. But to hear further that other folks haven't even been asked, I have to say I'm very disappointed. I would say this is not ready for prime time, and then if all the others were participating, then it may be appropriate to come back and talk to us and see what we might consider. But given what you've given me so far, I too would be not in support of this.
The county and UCSB have been asked. The city of Carpinteria has not been asked. And the business community has been asked by the Goleta businesses were asked last year by the Goleta Chamber, but they have not been asked again with this specific request. So, yes, I realize that it's lacking a lot of information, trying to give you as much as we have, but there's just simply, as you've commented, not a lot of information.
Did you want to word? I mean, it's not mandatory.
No, I know.
No, I thought you were.
I just want to say I realize that it would be great to get more airlines to come in and offer other possibilities of different locations. I mean, Councilmember Bennett and myself just got back from Sacramento, and we had to go drive to Burbank and catch a flight from Burbank. So I can understand the position of wanting, especially the businesses trying to get business here. I do understand that, but I have to agree with my colleagues that have spoke so far. I don't think it's the right time. I'd want more information, and I'm not in support of the $50,000 at this time.
Yeah, Council Member Aceves.
I'm going to address this from a different angle. First of all, I agree we shouldn't be participating financially with this. This is a multi-chamber driven project that's even housed out of the Santa Barbara Region Chamber, and I think we should support their efforts, not financially, but support their efforts to get more convenient airline service and reasonable priced airline service to Santa Barbara. It helps our businesses. It helps our citizens that need to travel. I mean, you guys went to Burbank because it was probably a lot cheaper than flying out of Santa Barbara. And secondly, you probably couldn't fly in a flight out of Santa Barbara that you needed time-wise. I mean, there used to be a direct flight to Sacramento, if you guys remember, from Goleta to Sacramento. There isn't any more. So I would hope that we get a message back to the chambers that, you know, we would try to help them support where we can, but not financially. We already give the chamber significant dollars. I think that money can be used in part for this project. But the idea of getting additional flights into Santa Barbara is critical. So I just want to give you a different take on that one.
Anybody else? No? Well, I hope this doesn't put you in too awkward of a position when you go back and discuss this with them. No?
I think I have all the information I need to share.
Hey, you're a politician, aren't you? That's well done. Okay, now, there was one more here, so we're actually a retreading of this, if you would.
Yeah, there's an additional item which we note on the slide. As you'll recall from our recent presentation from Saul Serrano of the South Coast Task Force on Youth Safety, they're looking to have an ongoing funding commitment from Goleta, as they also have from the cities of Santa Barbara and Carpinteria and the county of Santa Barbara. In the past, they've made requests for individual years. What we've reflected in your budget is the request for $22,854 as an ongoing request per the request from the task force. Mr. Serrano is here if you have questions for him about this request. Otherwise, if not, you can begin your discussions about it.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, I think this is one of the programs in our community that, in fact, has shown some great success. In the coordinating role that Mr. Serrano performs. It's bringing all of the agencies that already spend money, and as a result of the Community Action Commission stepping up and taking this over and providing the leadership, it provides the monies that are already spent in a much more effective fashion. Everyone understands what is out there and what, in fact, may be needed to serve our youth that are at risk. And I think the statistics are pretty impressive. And we have, in fact, supported this program in the past. We did ask that they document that they were being successful, which they have done, and given us the information we need in order to be supportive. So this is a request that I think means a lot to our community. We have issues here locally as well as the other communities do, and it's such a successful program that other communities are looking at it to consider adopting a similar type program because of its success. So I just feel strongly this is one that is important for us to get behind, and it goes back to the quality of life in the city of Goleta and the things that we offer our constituents. And this is just an example of something I think that's become very, very positive, and I'd like to see it continued in this fashion. And I'm also supportive because the other agencies that were mentioned, they're also supporting this, and this is based on a per capita basis. So those that have a larger population are paying more, and those that have a smaller population are paying less, but it's on the same per capita amount. So I'm pleased that everyone else has stepped up to the bar as well on this particular program.
Councilmember Perotti.
Well, I'd like to echo what Councilmember Bennett just said. I sit on the task force, and I see firsthand the work that's being done and accomplished. And now that we're looking at prevention and intervention, even though the numbers are showing going down the trend of youth and gangs, I think we have a lot more work to do in the prevention and getting them before they go into that lifestyle and continue with the intervention. So now's not a good time for us to slow down. I think we're going to even become busier. So I wholeheartedly support this request.
All right. As I understand it, it's in the budget already. We're just reworking this for clarity's sake with the accountants. Is that correct?
Right. We're noting that we've included it as an ongoing request, which was the direction we previously heard from council. And since this is a midterm adjustment of a two-year budget, we're highlighting all the things that are new and different since adoption a year ago.
All right. Very good. Anybody else? Yeah. Council member service.
It's not in our budget as an ongoing. The last time it came before us, it was a one-time expenditure. And it was a one-time expenditure because CAC forgot to submit a bill to us, and it was delayed. I was involved in this program from the initial start or a few months after that, and the goal then was to fight gang violence because of a homicide that Santa Barbara had. This is a Santa Barbara program, and that partnered with the county. And then, like everything else, he said, well, let everybody else contribute. I'm in favor of a one-time obligation for these fundings. But there's concerns that I have. First of all, if you look at their mission, the original mission to fight gang violence, by their even numbers, they succeeded. And any government program that it succeeds met the goals to basically go away. But now they're changing the focus to talk about youth violence. But we haven't received the goals, how we're going to measure their success or lack of success, and that's still to come. So I think they'd get the one year to work on it, come back and report to us. My other concern is this, and I hope the organization takes care of this. Like I said, it started as a Santa Barbara project because they received state funding initially to get it going. I don't know if it's in their bylaws or just in the rules that they've been operating on, but the only people that can chair this organization is the mayor of Santa Barbara, or the first or second district supervisors. And that's what we were told at our last meeting. So as Councilman Perotti sits on this task force, she'll never get the opportunity to serve as a chair. But yet, we're a funder. And I think that that's not fair to the city of Goleta. If we have issues here and we want to be able to lead direction of the organization, that we should get the opportunity to serve as chair. Now, if I misspoke, I would like the representatives to tell me I misspoke, but that's the way it's been historically. And I think, I don't know if it's in the bylaws or what, but I think as Councilman Perotti continues sitting on this, that she deserves an opportunity to serve as chair at one time. And a representative from the city of Carpinteria, because we are the funders. Carpinteria, Santa Barbara, Goleta, the county, and the city of Santa Barbara. So.
Yeah, Council Member Perotti.
Can we have someone come up and address this, please?
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Members of the council, we just want to say thank you. You know, when we're prepared to speak, we say thank you for your continued support up until now, and the words of continued support as well going forward. And just to answer some of those questions, there is no bylaws as to who the chairs are of the task force. So if Council Member Perotti would like to be chair of the task force, there's definitely room, and I don't know if she's volunteering, which that would be great, you know. So we'd be glad to have her be a future chair going forward. There isn't that only exclusivity of who can be chairs and who can't. So it is a possibility to have a representative from the Goleta Council chair the task force going forward. And It wasn't, you know, Santa Barbara served as the convener, but it wasn't their program. They convened the cities, the county, and the region to really put something together that would be more than one independent city can achieve or the county can achieve, but really everybody together for the greater good of the region. And so that's really the effort. It's not, you know, somebody who started it or what. It's everybody's effort. And everybody gets credit for that work because it doesn't belong to one organization. CAC manages it, but that's just the managerial part of administering the task force.
No. Yeah, Council Member Vallejo, Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
Get that right, Kent Mayor Farr. So your job is to coordinate the other groups. Are there groups that you're working with that are in Goleta?
Yes, I mean, the effort is housed by Community Action Commission, which is in Goleta. Yeah. There's many programs that you know, Goleta has. The Santa Barbara School District, which you have, you know, two sure. schools from the school district here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're working with some of your representatives from the Sheriff's Department. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of collaboration. And obviously, you know, obviously there's always room for improvement, but, you know, we've reached out and we continue to move forward as we learn. I mean, we started this not really, having a vision and having goals in mind, and we've achieved that. And now it's not that, you know, I understand the concern of, you know, government agencies achieving their goals and moving on. But we know, we've learned from history that in past efforts, when these type of services or coordination has gone away, the problem comes back up.
Right.
And so the question is, do we want to sit here 7 years from now and rebuild it again?
And I'm guessing the gangs don't have specific territories. It's not like they stay out
of the city. Or timelines, or, you know, they're just there.
Okay. And if we do make this a line item, I guess is the term we're using, you'll still be coming to council to report?
Yes. Part of our work going forward is to come twice a year to council and inform on updates.
And also, if I may clarify the concern that Council Member Aceves raised about the next set of goals. In the presentation we made, there were five areas that we're focusing on, very specific. And that is what we will be reporting on. So in the areas of mental health with kids, how do we make sure that kids get mental health services? I think that the purpose of this is that we're program rich, but coordination poor. So we need the ability to coordinate across the boundaries. So Goleta is a key player. Daniel, the sheriff.
Dave,
is it meets with us on a monthly basis. And whenever, if the more services needed at the school, if we need the probation department. That's the kind of coordination that happens across the borders, across it. It's not just exclusive. Kids have been served here in Goleta across this program.
Great, thank you.
If I can make one last comment. We did send the city reports, both our annual report from 2015, as well as the Mission 2020, which captures the goals of the next 5 years and the work that we'll be focusing on and how we're going to evaluate that.
All right. Mr. Serrano, Ms. Foreman, thank you.
Any
other questions, comments?
Okay.
No. Okay. Thank you. Now, do you have what you need from us? We don't need to vote on this. You're informing us as to what you're doing. Is there any thing that requires a vote?
Since this is a workshop, we are not asking for votes. We're asking for general direction, consensus direction. I feel that we've received it for the South Coast Railroad Museum's request as well as for the EBT request. I'm not 100% sure on this current request.
I support it.
I support it.
Okay. I just want to clarify as a line item or ongoing support versus one-time support. That's where I was wanting a little more clarification.
I think that is the reason Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo received reassurance that they'll be coming back. Yeah. Mr. Serrano said twice a year, actually, to give us an update. So we're Council Member Aceves' concern about things going on and living long after their useful life, I think, is certainly justified, but in this instance, I think we support Mr. Serrano and the group. So, yeah,
I would support a one-time, since they're starting a new project, have them come back and report back to us instead of an ongoing commitment. It's a one-time, and with regards to the chair, I specifically remember at the committee meeting we were told that, and I'll go find my notes on it. But I don't want to belabor that. So one time on that. With regards to the Railroad Museum, the committee is already recommending we give them $4,250 for two projects. I wish that they had come back or submitted to the committee a flat-out grant request to offset the $13,000. So I have trouble giving them $13,000 when, if you take the $4,250, they're only $9,050 short, and I think that can be easily made up by going to their contributors. So I'm not in support of giving them the $13,000.
I just want to clarify that the grant committee, when they reviewed the Goleta City grant requests, did not recommend approval of both of those grant applications. I believe it was just the one. Ms. Dato has that information. I believe it was the smaller request for the informational brochures that they want to have produced and printed and distributed. And that was $750.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're right. They had another request for $3,500.
Yeah, and that was declined.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody? Councilmember Bennett.
Thank you. And in regards to the Railroad Museum, I think what's being lost here is they have many more expenses that they've covered with fundraising, which included the previous assistant's salary. And so it's not like all of a sudden that the other expenses disappear. They're still there. The one that is now coming to light that they've learned about, and this is recent, is the fact that trying to find a qualified candidate, they're going to have to spend some more money on the salary side. That's the issue. So they're making it as a one-time request. I support it. And there's a lot of issues that occurred that caused this thing to happen in a last-minute fashion. And it doesn't meet our criteria for the city grants program. I mean, this isn't something we would normally fund in any case under the city grants program. So bottom line is, it's perfectly appropriate to come forward, make the request. We have the ability to say yes or no, and that's really where it's at. But this is an extraordinary request, above and beyond all of their other expenses and able to function, because they've learned after having reached out that they can't find a qualified person that's willing to do it for the price they're willing to pay and the money they currently have. If I may.
Yeah. Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
As I've already said, I support the request too. And part of my thinking was, A, we're a city that runs really lean and doesn't spend a lot of money on activities at this point. I wish we could for the general public. And this is something where a nonprofit has stepped up and done that for us. And I also like the fact that they're being proactive and looking at the big picture down the road, you know, with discussions with potentially with the Historical Society and everything. They're not burying their head in the sand on this and thinking we're going to ask the city for money every year to keep our operations open. They're looking at the bigger picture and coming to us with a one-time request to make sure the facility continues to run and thrive and provide that kind of entertainment for kids and adults, because we love to watch our kids or grandkids playing on those things too. So that's why I'm supporting it.
Once more into the brief.
I think it was obvious that I support the one-time $13,300. So just wanted to make that clear.
Do we get a free train ride out of this at least?
Yes.
All right, Ms. City Manager, are you comfortable proceeding?
Yes, thank you. We're ready to proceed to the next expenditure category.
Okay.
For general government, under the city manager's budget, we have included $65,000 for a management audit for the planning department. This is similar to the management audit that was undertaken in the current year for the public works department. Also included is a nexus study for development impact fees. We're estimating that to be $90,000. The fee study for development impact fees is necessary and a requirement to justify the fees that are approved. The city clerk's budget has some minor increases for election costs and the codification for the new
zoning ordinance.
That went blank there for a minute. The zoning ordinance is anticipated to be implemented in the coming year, and as a result, the codification will increase the city clerk's budget by about $8,000. In the city attorney's budget, we have included $81,000 for an American with Disabilities Act self-evaluation and transition plan. This effort is undertaken in conjunction with JPIA. They are paying a portion of the cost of this transition plan. I believe they're paying about $20,000, and the city is expected to contribute $81,000 towards this effort. In support services, there are several adjustments requested. An IT, our information technology strategic plan. This was one of the recommendations as a result of the Baker-Tilly study. So we are estimating $45,000 to undertake that effort. There's a line item for some HR legal support and services of $15,000 included in the budget. And additionally, there's a city hall lease and utility cost increases as a result of additional square footage. As the city hall expands upstairs of approximately $120,000.
Question. I thought we were putting all legal services in the city attorney's office.
Currently, the HR support is also provided. There is some legal support provided out of the support services budget, as they do provide consultant-related and legal-related support for personnel-related activities.
Okay, but all legal services should come out of our city attorney's office.
In addition,
shouldn't we put this $15,000 into the city attorney's budget?
If council wants us to consolidate those expenditures into that budget, we can. We'll still be coordinating across departments, because that work will essentially be taking place in the city manager's department in the human resources function.
I understand, but it needs to be triaged at the city attorney's office to see and give you the recommendation how to move forward. So my suggestion, and I don't know if I have any support, is all legal services, and I thought that's what was decided, that all legal services go out of the city attorney's office.
If I might also add, some of these services are related to regulatory compliance, and so they, the consultant provides us with support with regard to how to interpret certain regulatory issues for us related to the Affordable Care Act, sick leave changes, and some other related issues. So they provide not just legal support, but also operational support to the HR function.
Mr. Bennett?
I would love to hear from the city attorney. It's his shop as to whether this makes sense for it to come your direction or not.
Yeah, I think there may be just some clarification issues on this. I think, if I understand it correctly, I didn't see this request until right before it was published and had a brief conversation with the city manager on it. I think what's been designated as HR legal services is services that are being provided by a law firm, but they do not characterize them as legal services. And in fact, I've had conversations with them, and they've been real clear that they're not providing legal services. They're providing some HR assistance. They're attorneys. They do that. There's a crossover. But I do think that we need to get clarification on this, because I think it is important, both with the structure of the way the city is set up, your municipal code, and some of the directions and expectations that council has shared in the past, that we make sure that any legal advice is at least coordinated through my office.
Okay, well, the question for me still stands, is you're suggesting that the outreach wasn't legal advice, it was giving the person an HR information that they might need, but the question is that $15,000 should be in your shop or an HR shop? Or is it an HR shop that you can charge against if you were to hire, let's say, a consulting attorney to provide that information?
Again, only had an opportunity to have a brief conversation with the city manager about this. And one of the conversations we had was that under either budget, we could make sure that the contracts are provided. I think the clarification needs to be not at the budget level, but at the contract level, to make sure that what's happening, that the proper division is happening. And I think some of that's semantics, and I think some of it's just a lack of clarity. City manager and I need to work on that. I think that was part of what the information we had independently provided the council was, is that we would provide additional clarification on this and come back with it. And so some of the information today is hasn't really been consistent with where we were wanting to go, but our direction was is that this is one item that we wanted to provide additional clarification for you in the final budget, work this out, because it came up so late.
Okay, well, I'm totally in support of that. Come back after you two have figured out what it is that makes the most sense for the city and report to us, and that would make me happy, and I'll go whatever direction is the recommendation.
If I can ask the city attorney just one question about that. What's before us is to allocate $15,000 for potential legal support dealing with HR issues. So if our HR director, when we get one, or the manager comes to you with a question, with an HR question, and you can ask, it could be asked and answered in your office, then we don't need to spend the $15,000. But if it can't, then you'd have the $15,000 to go to a consultant or another attorney to answer that question. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's my understanding of council's past direction. That would be my preference, and it's my understanding that's the city manager's preference. To the extent that we're talking about legal advice, that would be coordinated with the city attorney and is usually typically out of the city attorney's office and budget. So that we can make the decisions as to who the best person is to provide the legal advice, and that you can hold me accountable for the legal advice that's provided to the city. And I think the city manager is on the same page with that. The challenge comes in is that we have several law firms that, in addition to providing legal advice, provide HR support services. And I think probably, although we need to clarify this, I think this is probably just an unfortunate semantics in the budget listing. If it were HR support and services, I don't think we would have an issue. But we have to validate that from what the understandings are and what's there. So this that's is something we can work on and bring back to you.
This is more like proactive stuff, making sure we're compliant with ACA and workplace stuff that always comes up at the state level as far as vacation time and all that other stuff. This isn't necessarily an employee's unhappy and we need to consult for HR issues.
No, I would not characterize it that way. There's a number of different things that would fall in that category, but again, haven't had the opportunity to talk to them about what the scope of this request really was.
I'm with Councilman Bennett. If you guys want to work it out and let us know.
We'll bring you back updated information when we return with the budget later.
Okay. Thank you. In the finance department, we did include $35,000 for user fee study. This amount was included in the current year budget, but was delayed as a result of the delay in the zoning ordinance implementation. So we anticipate this study being undertaken in the latter part of 16-17. Planning and environmental review in the area of current planning, we did, as mentioned before, include a management analyst position at just over $100,000 in salaries and benefits. Under professional services, we did include $50,000 for implementation of the zoning ordinance in their professional services category. In advanced planning, we did include a permit software implementation. This relates to a permit software contract that was approved a number of years ago, but again delayed as a result of the zoning ordinance. Staff is now ready, once that ordinance is implemented, to move forward with the implementation. Thereafter, after 16-17, we anticipate an annual maintenance fee that would need to be included in the budget, and I believe that is in the neighborhood about $30,000 a year. Again, that contract was approved by council, I want to say at least 4 years ago. In the professional services line item, there is a beach hazards cleanup. Those were dollars allocated to 15-16, and staff has not completed that effort and anticipates needing those funds next year as well. In the sustainability program, staff has requested $20,000 for a sustainability plan. Again, that was not included in 16-17 budget, but is a new request.
I have a couple questions. The management analyst, I think when we met, you said that it'd be basically temporary in planning and could be used somewhere else.
I think the question, we indicated that if it was temporary, the position could be used elsewhere. As far as the efforts that need to be undertaken, the permit software implementation, some contract management and developer deposits, and some general standard operating procedures and coordination for issues identified in the Baker-Tilly study related to the Public Works Department. If those efforts were completed, there is an opportunity for that position to be used in other areas of the city.
And is the $103,000 a fully loaded amount?
I believe so, yes.
But that's going to come back with when we do the budget as far as where it is in the chart and what it's going to cost us.
Yes, we've noted that request and we'll provide you with additional information. Okay.
And what is the sustainability plan that we haven't done?
That's Ann, right? Our sustainability coordinator, Cindy Moore, is here to give you a little more information about that plan.
Good afternoon, council members of the council. So that item is an objective in our currently adopted budget, and it has been since fiscal year 13-14. I think at that time it was called a green strategic action plan. So the idea here is that, you know, we have a lot of activities and projects that are going on that relate to sustainability in some way throughout multitude of departments. And the idea here would be to finally identify, you know, what is the sustainability vision for the city and how do these projects coordinate to support that vision. And
actually create a plan at this time to be, you know, the guidance document for that, but also to set up sort of a foundation for a reporting system to actually be able to measure and track any kind of benefits that we're getting from these types of projects. So that's kind of an intro.
So it's been an objective, mm-hmm. but it was not funded, and it's been an objective since 13-14.
Correct.
Okay. And with the $20,000, are you proposing to hire a consultant to fine-tune the plan for council?
Yeah, so a couple different things. That number is based on a couple of bids that I received from some well-known sustainability consultants, so local consultant and non-local consultant. So they would basically provide some advisory services, perhaps some workshopping or stakeholder outreach. And then there is some also reporting, implementation reporting tools that that estimate is covering.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
All right, if I think it's back in your court.
Okay. We'll cover Public Works next. Facilities maintenance budget, no real significant increases other than just a reminder that there is a capital improvement program allocation, again, for $250,000 for basically city facilities in general. This allocation was also approved for 15-16, and what that allows staff to do is, as facilities need significant maintenance, or as in the case of the workshop that was held last week, and studies need to be accomplished for the GVCC or the community center building, this budget is already set aside to fund that activity. Parks and Open Space, we did move the $50,000 allocated for the Parks Master Plan to Neighborhood Services in anticipation of a Parks and Recreation Manager to lead that effort in the coming year. They have also allocated or requested a new vehicle, $33,000, for the increase in staff that they had at mid-year and to replace a vehicle that needs to be replaced. And again, in the capital improvement program, as we did in the current year, we're going to be including $100,000 already programmed as was part of their five-year budget for park-related facility improvements.
Ms. Wilson, on the vehicle, you said two things. You said they need an additional vehicle and need to replace a vehicle. So are we talking about replacing one vehicle or adding our fleet by one car or two cars?
I said both because I couldn't quite remember if they had an old vehicle that they need to replace to support the new staff. But I'll let Rosemary answer that question.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeannie. Members of the council, this is actually because we're getting two additional maintenance workers, and they need vehicles. And because we try to get a lot done with the fewest number of people, we don't double up in trucks. We send them off doing work in separate locations. So I believe this is to just make up for vehicles for those new maintenance workers.
So it's an additional vehicle to our fleet.
Yes.
And then we would have in our budget the ongoing replacements of these vehicles.
Yes.
Correct. There's a reserve for that. Okay, in the capital improvement program, no real significant changes, but we did want to point out that it is staff's anticipation as we budgeted in the current year, a cost recovery of the staff time currently working on the various and numerous projects that have been budgeted. A lot of those projects are funded with development impact fees and grants, so finance staff is working with public works staff to make sure that we cost recover the time spent on those projects. In street maintenance, we have included an additional general fund allocation of $500,000, $500,000, towards that program to assist in funding the much needed pavement management program levels that have been presented to council previously. In neighborhood services, we did include the park and recreation manager position at $137,000. Again, that parks master plan has now been moved from public works to neighborhood services in 16-17. They have included an increase to their banner program of $18,000 for a total of $25,000 towards that program, essentially expanding that program. Also included is $20,000 for special event response. That was an allocation approved for 15-16, and that is an ongoing request for those efforts.
May I ask a question about that? Is that for the Bacchanalia that goes on at UCSB?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay. And where are we running up those expenses there from? Overtime on the public safety people?
Sure. Mr. Mayor and members of the council, the costs associated with the special event response have primarily been for hiring the company that puts out all of the traffic delineators, the electronic message boards, the cost of mailing all of the permits to the residents in the restricted parking area. The overtime costs associated with Deltopia are covered out of the sheriff's overtime account, but the bulk of the charges associated with this special event are, as I indicated.
If I might, I think we should make note of this, you know, when we have ongoing discussions with the university to seek some quid pro quo for this, you know, because we're helping, arguably we're helping them more than we're helping ourselves. And I fully subscribe to the idea that Isla Vista is a problem that all of us must contribute to. But I just think it would be useful to remember that when we're discussing things with the university, that we are willing and generous partners, if you will, in the attempt to gain control of Isla Vista. So, yeah, Mr. Bennett?
I would only say, because I've brought the topic up myself at past appropriate moments, that the argument you'll receive is the observation that the parents spending time in our hotels and paying TOT and the ongoing student body that comes to our city to expend monies and sales tax for all of the services and products that they purchase, that there's a pretty strong feeling that we far exceed any of those expenses that we may have in relationship to what we get for the benefit of the university being there.
Yeah, no, and that's a reasonable argument. You know, I think they can use it. On the other hand, we can also use it as our contribution to their well-being, and undoubtedly the chancellor's desire to get UCSB off the top 10 party schools in the country, you know. So, I mean, I think they're in a position to gain more than we are. In any event, without sounding like Donald Trump, you know, we get into these negotiations. It's just useful to have a list of things that we've done to support the well-being of the university. And certainly God bless the universities, but let's make a note if we can. Thank you.
If I can add to that.
Yeah, sure. Council Member Studies.
This special event response should be a line item of the budget and not keep coming back to us. Because every time we get a Halloween report, there's a request for allocations. We know we're going to spend it. And I agree with what Councilmember Bennett said. And if you look at what the university spends in law enforcement alone by bringing in officers from all over the state, $20,000 doesn't even hold a candle to it. But I hate having this come back again. It just takes up too much staff time. Make it a line item, we're going to do it. With regards to the park and recreation manager, when it comes back, I would like to see what the job description is going to be, especially when it has to do with recreation, because it was stated earlier, this person is going to handle the parks need assessment, probably working with the Parks and Rec Commission on that. The parks master plan, I guess working with Public Works on that. Capital improvement project, I guess working with planning and Public Works on that. But when it gets down to recreation, what are we doing? We talked about that earlier, about hiring part-time people to handle recreation activities, because we don't do recreational activities. And we are not really good at this point as far as taking care of parks. We could do better. It'd be good to have a person that just focuses just on that. So I would hope that comes back explaining both with a job description so the council knows what our expectations are from a park and recreation manager.
And staff had planned to bring that back. We're finalizing that job description or classification specification. As you know, council has to adopt those along with any changes to our salary and classification plan. So we were planning to bring that to you. Certainly we can send it along to you a little earlier, along with the other things that you've asked for that position and the management analyst.
Yeah, and I totally appreciate that. When we get the classification, that's just the one sheet showing the positions and salaries.
Has any new job description attached to it, because you actually have to see it and adopt it as part of that resolution. So we will have that for you.
Okay, so for economic development, Neighborhood Services is requesting bus benches in Old Town, basically the bus shelters, and I meant to change that, so that there is a uniform look in Old Town and an enhanced level of bus shelters in Old Town, similar to one that is located currently there. There is also an addition of $8,000 for a public parking lease in Old Town that was not previously included. For the police contract, is adopted in the budget, but I just wanted to point out there is a 3.5% increase each year for the public safety contract with the Sheriff's Department. That is doesn't necessarily mean we're going to spend that. It's just added there as in the event that the contract rate does increase. Included in the police contract budget, we're proposing a parking enforcement officer at a rate of $105,000. That position has been in discussion for some time. And again, there was discussion of whether or not to contract this position or bring it in-house. And staff did prepare an analysis to look at which option would be better suited for the city, and is proposing the parking enforcement officer through the contract.
When we did the analysis and compared the in-house cost to the contract cost, we found that if we were to hire the position directly as part of our classification plan, we would not be able to do it as affordably as the county is proposing. Basically, our hourly rate would be higher, and then there would be the addition of our salary and benefits on top of that. So side by side, the contract option was primarily more affordable. It's also an area that we don't currently have a program in place, so we felt it was advantageous to start with a contract program, since this is not an area that we have existing program developed and managed the way that the Sheriff's Department does. Also, we felt that we would be able to get the position in a lot quicker than if we had an in-house recruitment. And our final thought was that as we move forward with this program, it would be great to have it contract for a few years until we really got the hang of it and made adjustments to the program per council direction. And at that time, when we really knew the full extent and scope of such a program, we could reconsider whether having an in-house enforcement officer would be more advantageous at that time. Our expectation is that as we complete an amendment to our contract with the Sheriff's Office, the scope of work would be made clear, and also the reporting structure. It's very important to us that this position report directly on a daily basis to our Neighborhood Services and Public Safety Director, Mr. Adamidis, so that we have control over the tasks assigned to this position, their workflow, and their workload. So council knows, this wouldn't be a position that we don't have the ability to manage their workload.
And to add, increase parking citation revenue for this position just at about $40,000. That's just a very conservative estimate based on the information provided to us by the county, but staff would look to monitor that, and essentially that is an offset to the cost for providing this position.
if I could on that one also. I think we're going to have a discussion on what it's going to cost us to codify our laws to be able to have this officer do the work that needs to be done. And I looked at the city attorney for that, in that we have no parking signs on Hollister Avenue, but I don't think we have initial code to handle the time zones. I could be wrong.
Well, in terms of whether or not there's enforceability in any particular location, that's something that we'll work with the Public Works Department on. We do on a periodic basis, on a case-by-case basis, and perhaps a systematic survey would be appropriate to do that, and we can certainly work with them to support that as opposed to any kind of change to the code, but is addressing any missing or needed signage or council authorization. We have seen periodically some carryovers from the county where things have either not been carried over or not effectuated appropriately, and we tend to address those on a case-by-case basis, but we would work with Public Works on that.
Mr. Adamidis may have something to add in response to your question.
Members of the council, the city also has an adopted bail schedule that can be used for the enforcement of any of the parking restrictions or violations that are found as part of this program for the officer to cite. There is an adopted bail schedule for those parking violations.
All right. Ms. Wilson, is there you proceeding there?
In the next slide, we'll talk a little bit about the general fund projected reserve activity, or basically your fund balance. As is the case, per council policy, we do have a contingency set up for as a of reserves for at 30% of your appropriations. So that is at $7.4 million. Additionally, I wanted to point out we have continued to set aside funds for public facilities. Previously, we had titled this category Civic Center, but as that has been placed on hold, we see the need to continue to set aside these funds for future public facilities and necessary improvements in either acquiring or improving existing facilities. I did want to point out, as we've had previous discussions on the retiree health benefit category, we had an actuarial analysis and evaluation report done two years ago that determined $333,000 was the set aside needed to fund that program. We continue to set that aside in fund balance, and as we have discussed in the past, staff is pursuing with CalPERS setting up a trust fund for these for basically this allocation. So once those agreements are approved and the city sets up the trust fund, these monies would be moved to a separate fund. That hasn't happened yet, so they continue to be set aside in fund balance. Additionally, we do have a CalPERS unfunded accrued liability that currently is budgeted in the city's general fund by department. That is based on a 30-year amortization schedule. CalPERS has provided the city with alternatives to pay that amount sooner, a 15-year program and a 10-year program. Staff has included an additional $40,000 in reserves to comply with a 15-year program. Again, city would need to meet with CalPERS to implement that program and bring that information forward to council. So this is in keeping with council's previous direction and policy direction. Street maintenance reserves, as I mentioned, the pavement management program for the general fund's contribution has increased by $500,000. So we have reduced that allocation in the reserve category for street maintenance. We have increased the litigation defense fund by $250,000 to maintain a $300,000 allocation in that reserve as per previous council direction. And the remaining note was the unassigned fund balance, if based on a budgetary basis, would be at $1.67 million at the end of 16-17. And that assumes you receive all the revenues we've budgeted and spent every dollar that we've budgeted. So likely that bottom line will change. In most cases, we do exceed our revenue estimates and do have expenditure savings every year. As discussed briefly, we do have a five-year forecast in your packet. There's a tab for reflecting your revenues over expenditures by revenue category and department summary category, revising the 16-17 base year, and then projecting revenues out and expenditures for the next 5 years. The revenue assumptions for each of those 5 years are conservative. And not overly aggressive at all. We did program two new hotels in years one and two of that five-year. And on the expenditure side, we do adjust salaries for limited-term staff. And on the operating category, we do adjust for one-time contracts. Staff is still fine-tuning that report, but for the most part, we do have revenues exceeding expenditures in each of the five-year category. Based on pending future obligations, we haven't programmed all those available revenues over expenditures, and nor would I recommend we do that. But the five-year forecasting is looking very solid. And to touch on the revenue neutrality agreement, it's just a reminder that that we do allocate to the county for sales tax at 30% of our 1%. And that we do split property tax equally with the county, which for 16-17 is expected to total $5.6 million. In the sales tax category, it's estimated at $2.9 million. Property tax is estimated at $2.7 million. Historical payments projected through 16-17 exceed $100 million. And I'm available to answer any questions regarding this.
Oh, yeah, let me ask a question there. Are you rubbing salt in this wound?
No, I was reminded that council likes to be reminded about...
Oh, we do. We do. Who wants... anybody want to take a poke here? Tony?
I'll just repeat my comment from the Finance Committee. I think we should send the county a cake when we hit $100 million and tell them you're welcome.
I believe we'll be surpassing that in 16-17 based on the figures that we have.
I'll start thinking of ideas for frosting on the cake then.
Okay.
All right, anybody else want to take a stroke at that? Well, I don't need to. Everybody knows the general indignation the council feels over this this extraction, if you will, from the county. So we'll just have to keep working on it until we find a solution, and there will be a solution. Actually, I thought demanding of each new supervisor, if they're looking, what their opinion will be on this before the vote might be a useful way to see, to get more compliance from a supervisor before they have the power. Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
I just wanted to note that council previously asked staff to come up with a list of potential projects and programs that could have been undertaken or completed if we didn't have revenue sharing with the county. We've put up on the slide here some ideas that we had, but certainly there may be others that we're not aware of or that we forgot to add to the list. But certainly these are some of the higher profile efforts that the city is tasked with that additional funding would certainly help greatly with. The first is our library, not only the facility itself, but the services provided, resources that are available. Additional revenue would certainly improve our ability to support those services. Pavement management, we know that that is an ongoing challenge. Every year we fight the weather, we fight the weight and volume of vehicles on our roads, and we're always playing catch up trying to keep the pavement in our community in a safe and usable condition. Improvements in Old Town, the council is well aware of the many and sundry improvements that have been planned for Old Town that we, due to the loss of RDA funds, have not been able to complete. Some things are possible due to grant funds, but certainly if we had additional general fund monies, it would be easier to expedite those improvements in Old Town. Recreation programming, that's another area where we've not been able to afford going forward with a full-fledged recreation program. As was noted earlier by council members, we do rely heavily on the nonprofits in our area who can provide programming for us, and we've been very fortunate to have their efforts serve our community as well. Park improvements and expansions, it's another area. And of course, either a civic center with or without a city hall. So those are just some thoughts that we put together just in response to council's request.
I think that was my request, and I think...
I believe that's true.
For me, it was just to illustrate to the public, especially the burdens we're under as a city because of this RNA agreement. I mean, we would not be having the discussion about additional funding for the library if we weren't taking, if $5 million a year wasn't taken from our budget. We would be able to fund our own library without asking the public for more money. We would have real recreation programs for our kids and not depend on the kindness of the Railroad Museum and everybody else to provide those for us. The pavement management, we've talked about lowering the expectations on our roads because we can't afford to maintain that quota of 70. And again, we would have the funding if we didn't have this RNA agreement in place. So it's, all kidding aside, it's very frustrating to have to make our citizens sacrifice because the county won't speak to us about this agreement.
All right, that's well said. The something you pointed out yesterday, I believe, Ms. Wilson, was that we should, you look at our balance sheet, our budgets, you know, and we look solvent, which we are, and we are doing quite well as a city, and you know the county will say, well, you're making money, we're losing money, you know. But as you pointed out yesterday, or was it Ms. Green, we run a very lean city here. There are tons of things, and the mayor pro tem just alluded to some of them, that we would be a different city if we have that $5 million a year. So I just want to say, when they say, well, you guys are doing well and we're not, we're on the whole, well, maybe they need to clean their house up a little bit. Thank you.
Just touch briefly on other funds. In the gas tax fund, we are we see a slight decrease in our revenues for a total of $638,000. We did have additional fund balance that we allocated with expenditures totaling $859,000. In Measure A, we receive approximately $1.5 million in revenues. This is less than a 1% increase. These monies are allocated to operating expenditures in public works, about 1.1, and the balance of funds are programmed in CIP.
Excuse me one second. I read from Council Member Bennett a quote in NewsHawk as to what's gone on with Measure A funds here on Equal Fowler. Did you want to clarify that a second?
Well, there was a little confusion when it was originally written, so I asked for it to be changed, but I don't know if that happened. But we were speaking about two different things. We were talking about STIP funds and we were talking about Measure A funds. And when I spoke about Measure A, I just said when Measure A was passed, it was anticipated that the city of Goleta would generate approximately $120 million over the 30 years. And of that, we get back $49 million, $7 million for the bridge out on the west end, and $42 million on an annual basis for maintenance of our local roads. So that I was just clarifying that the rest of the money goes into the pot to do all the other things that Measure A does, but that we contribute a sizable amount of money. We get back less than half. And in the case of the STIP funding, that gets a little more complicated, and I think we're going to discuss that as we go through this a little bit later. And so I'll defer and not say anything about that now.
Yes, our public works director will briefly address that in the CIP portion of our presentation. And we have an additional opportunity for that discussion next Tuesday at our council meeting. She'll provide an update on the Equal Road Extension project on Tuesday's meeting as well.
Solid waste, we do see an increase on the on a budget basis in revenues. The actual revenues are trending higher than we've historically budgeted them. So although it's the increase on the on a budget basis is 16%, the actual revenues are trending at probably about 5% or so each year. On the expenditure side, a slight reduction, again, based on actuals. On a budget basis, we're definitely coming in under our expenditure budget on, each year. So staff's tightening up that, that expenditure estimate as well. For DIF, library DIF, we're based on council direction, allocating $60,000 in funding for books. And in the library services fund, we have revenue estimated at $253,000, or just a, an increase of just 1.1%. And then street lighting, we're anticipating $273,000 in revenue, very, very close to what we currently are assessing. Next is a CIP overview.
Excuse me. Before we go further, Mr. Mayor, could we take a break? It's been at it for about 2 hours.
Yeah, we have been. It was so much fun, I didn't notice. Yeah. Okay, why don't we take a break till 4:10?
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Now we're on.
Are we back?
We're back.
We are back. All right. All right. Ms. Green, do you want to give us our options here?
Yes, I'd be happy to do so. We have the option of continuing through our presentation at this time. However, if there are council members who are not able to commit any additional time because of previous appointments, we are prepared to continue our discussion. We can do so at the May 3rd council meeting. We can make an amendment to that agenda. We have additional time in the afternoon if you would like to do that. We anticipate probably needing another 30 to 40 minutes to finish our presentation, answer any questions that may come up. We have other options as well, but the nearest council meeting that could accommodate the remainder of the presentation is next Tuesday.
Okay, well, we know Council Member Aceves has to go. Actually, I should be probably leaving as well. So I would be for moving it to May 3rd in the afternoon. Does anybody not, does that not work for anybody?
I think it's important we're all here, so we should postpone till May 3rd.
Yeah, we're all in agreement on that. So if we can do that, postpone it to May 3rd, then everybody will get their chance to speak on this.
I just have a question. With what I saw on your May 3rd afternoon, because we're not meeting at night.
Right.
And right. You're going to try to put it in the afternoon.
I believe we can accommodate another 30 to 40 minutes comfortably. We don't have any closed session planned for the 3rd, and just one discussion item, I believe, and a brief presentation. So we should be fine with that time frame.
Do we have, I didn't notice it, but do we have closed session on the 3rd?
We do not have closed session okay. items.
All right.
All right. Let me say before I strike the gavel down here, when we discussed the budget yesterday, City Manager and Ms. Wilson, it was pointed out that there is an enormous potential savings from billing for services that the city staff has given to other enterprises. And I thought that should have been emphasized because Ms. Wilson has come up with a way that can save us considerable amount of money, so I thought you should get kudos for that. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Thank you. I believe we were discussing the cost recovery for capital improvement staff time on projects funded with development impact fees and state and federal grants. Public Works is working to and has in the past kept time on projects. Between finance and public works staff, we're tightening procedures up so that we can attempt to recover 75% of the cost of the staff time into those projects, which equals about $500,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's good news. Of course, anybody who's
doling out money here. So thank you for checking into that and seeing what the potential is. All right, if there are, oh.
Well, just, yeah, Mr. Mayor, right. as you conclude this meeting, I think it would be appropriate for you to adjourn the meeting to the regularly scheduled meeting of May 3rd, and then we'll post a notice of that adjournment, and then that will relieve any change in agendizing.
All right, so we are going to adjourn this meeting. We're going to pick it up May 3rd, which is a regular council day, and we're going to add it on there, and so it's going to be noticed to that effect. So if there are no further comments, we are done with our special workshop. Thank you. Daddy, oh, don't try to kill him. She said, Daddy, oh, don't.